Welcome to Venturesome, the podcast about being fiercely ambitious, brave, and curious. I'm Rachel Esterline Perkins, and we're talking about how to get a step ahead in your career. This podcast is all about taking risks, overcoming uncertainty, and being creative in our lives and careers. I recently had the opportunity to talk to Todd Henry, an author, international speaker, consultant, and advisor. He's the host of the Accidental Creative podcast, and we talked about his most recent book, The Motivation Code. The Motivation Code assessment and book help you find out what drives your best work so you can be more engaged and productive at work and a more effective leader. After this episode, leave a review or tell us what you think by emailing venturesomepodcast@gmail.com. And check out the blog post for more information and resources related to this episode. So I read The Motivation Code late last year and I took the full test. So that's what I want to focus on today. Why is it so critical to understand what motivates you?
So we like to say that motivation is kind of like the base layer of everything else. It's one thing to understand what you're good at. It's a very different thing to understand what you're good at that you're also motivated to achieve. If you don't understand what you're motivated to achieve or where you get your motivational energy, then it doesn't really matter what you're good at because you're not really going to be animated to do those activities. So the reason that we feel like motivated, well, not just that we feel like, the reason that we've discovered that motivation is so critical is because when you understand the unique combination of factors that drive engagement for you, you're able to structure your life and your work and your environment in such a way that it will elicit from you those motivational responses more consistently. So I'll give you an example in my life. In the Motivation Code, as you know, you read the book, we've discovered that there are 27 unique themes of motivation. And this isn't just something we, you know, threw darts at the dartboard to determine. It's based on over 50 years of research, over 1 million achievement stories, parsing the language that people use to describe what motivates them or what was satisfying about specific achievements. And what we discover is there are about 27 different ways people talk about that. There are 27 different ways that people talk about that. So for me, one of those is something that's called meet the challenge. Now, if I know that something is going to be challenging for me, I am animated, I'm motivated, I am driven to want to do that activity. If something doesn't feel challenging to me, then it's really difficult for me to get engaged in that activity. So one example for me that's very prominent in my life is writing books. Now, to some people, writing a book might sound challenging, but on a big conception, and I guess on a big conceptual level, it kind of is, but on a practical day-to-day level, it doesn't feel terribly challenging. I mean, I've done this several times now. So what I've had to do is establish daily challenges for myself. So I will say, I'm going to write 500 words before 9:30 this morning on my book, right? Because I know that I'm driven to meet the challenge. That's one of my top motivational themes. Because of that, I'm able to structure my life and my workload in a way that it keeps me engaged, keeps me moving forward, keeps me sort of deeply delving into whatever work I have to do that may not on the surface be naturally motivating in and of itself. So once we understand these motivational drivers, it changes the way that we approach life and work in a way that helps us be more engaged each day, experience flow more consistently, and also be more productive.
That's great. I really love the idea of structuring your day around what motivates you. It probably keeps you so much more excited about the things that maybe aren't even usually exciting.
Well, and that's the thing. I think so often people wait to be motivated, or they just sort of think that motivation is about having a job where all the tasks are just something I love to do all day. You and I both know that kind of job is a myth that doesn't exist. Now you may enjoy a number of the tasks that you get to do, but we all have to do things we don't want to do. It's not about enjoying the tasks. It's about what you bring to the task. It's about learning to approach the task in a way that is naturally motivating to you. So filing paperwork, not high on my list of things I want to do. But if I turn it into a challenge, suddenly it is, right? Or if I find a way of framing it up in such a way that it taps into one of my other top motivations, totally begins to reframe things for me and make it more engaging. I may not enjoy the task, but at least the overall experience is much more engaging and more enjoyable for me.
Do people's motivations change as they advance in their careers, or can you expect what your motivations are now to be pretty steady in the future?
So this is a really interesting topic, and our experience, because we've been doing this, the motivation code assessment now for about a decade, our experience is that people who take the assessment early on and who take the assessment later on experience some minor variation in their top motivational themes. When we rank the motivational themes number one to number 27, they experience some minor variation, but typically the themes that are generally in the top tend to remain in the top. The themes that are generally in the bottom tend to remain in the bottom. So it seems like motivation is fairly persistent, that it doesn't actually change much depending on your circumstances. Now, if you were to ask a 15-year-old and a 45-year-old, you know, when they turn 45, you might experience some difference because when you're 15, you don't really necessarily, you haven't really thought a lot about your life and about what really, you know, is satisfying to you, what drives you. But generally in adults, what we find is that those themes are pretty persistent throughout your life. So what motivates you now is very likely to then what motivated you 10 years ago is very likely to be what motivates you 10 years from now.
So I love how you outline the polarities in the book and how you refer to the shadow side, and it's not calling it a downside or a negative. So why is it important to be aware of the shadow side of our motivations?
So I'll give you another example from my life. I'll use my Meet the Challenge motivation because I've already talked about that a little bit. That's a tremendous gift because I love to do challenging things. It's very good. One tremendous downside to that is I sometimes gravitate toward whatever feels most challenging in the moment with regard to my work rather than gravitating toward the thing that really needs to get done. And sometimes I'll procrastinate things that don't feel challenging until they start to feel challenging because now I only have 3 hours to get them done instead of, you know, I had 3 weeks before. Now I have 3 hours. I have to. So it starts to feel challenging to me. So that's one notable downside of that meet the challenge motivation is you only want to do things that feel challenging. You only want to do things that feel like it's going to be difficult to overcome, you know, some sort of barrier or some sort of obstacle. And so I've had to be aware of that. And the way that I get around that is I plan my weeks, I block my weeks, and I allocate certain amounts of time to work on important projects that aren't necessarily urgent, but they're important. The reason I do that is because I will undoubtedly put those projects off to the last minute if I can. Again, that's one of the reasons why I write 500 words of a book every day when I'm writing a book, because if I don't, most likely, I'm going to wait until 3 weeks before my deadline, and then I'm going to try to write 60,000 words in 3 weeks, right? So steady, measured progress that feels a bit challenging for me is what helps me stay engaged. So understanding those shadow sides can help us understand why we experience some funks in our life, right? Some episodes where we start to feel disengaged. We start to feel like, well, maybe I just don't like my job anymore. Well, it could just be that your job right now is not lining up with some of those core motivational themes that really drive engagement for you. Maybe you need to figure out how to realign yourself. And that's an important point. You know, we often think, well, if I just go get another job or if I find something else that's a better fit for me, then my life is going to be more complete. I'm going to be more motivated. And in my experience, now I've been doing this for a very long time, often what you'll find is people are serial job hoppers. They go from job to job to job to job looking for the perfect fit, and they can never find the perfect fit because the problem is they're never satisfied wherever they are. If you learn to understand what it is that drives you, what motivates you, you can bring that to what you do. And maybe your environment isn't a fit for you, but at least you're making a more meaningful decision at that point rather than just saying, it just doesn't feel right. I'm going to move on, right? Understanding the shadow side can help you see where maybe you're slipping into some of those unhealthy patterns over and over again. I know when I discovered my motivation code the first time, it explained to me a lot of leadership faults that I had, some places maybe where I wasn't necessarily as effective of a communicator with people who were direct reports because, you know, I was making assumptions based upon what motivated me, not based on what motivated the people on my team. You know, it just really illuminates a lot of that unhealthy, unproductive behavior in your life. And you can begin to build some disciplines, some practices to countermand those negative effects.
I really love the idea of using your motivation code to figure out how a job fits you best. Do you have some thoughts on questions someone could ask, maybe even from the start when you're interviewing for a job, talking to the supervisor or the team or looking at the organization as a whole, you know, what can you look at to try to figure out if this organization is going to be the best fit for your motivations?
Yeah. So I'll share that, but then I'll also talk about some ways that maybe organizations can ask questions to help understand if people are a good fit for the job that they're hiring for, right? So I think the most important thing from a personal perspective, when you're going into an environment, first of all, you have to understand what it is that really drives you. So, motivation code is a great way to discover that. If you want to, obviously the book or motivationcode.com, there's a resource available there to help you identify that. But I think what you're looking for is you're looking for cues that the job that you're going to be doing and the environment you're going to be doing it in are consistent with some of those motivational themes that you know drive you. So for me, I'm going to communicate to anybody hiring me, listen, I'm somebody who loves frequent challenges and a variety of challenges. Is my job going to be a job where I'm basically monitoring a process and optimizing a process and just trying to make the process as efficient as it can be? Or is it something where I'm going to have brand new projects consistently that I have to figure out and wide open spaces and new things to tackle? And is that going to be what my workload looks like? If I'm being asked to do optimized type jobs, I'm probably not going to be a good fit for you because I'm going to be blowing everything up just to make it challenging. And that's probably not what you want. So once I understand that, I can ask more meaningful questions about what the workload expectation is. If I'm hiring someone, I will sometimes encourage people to ask questions specific to the role that they're going to be in. So if you're hiring, a great question to ask is, tell me about something you accomplished in your life, a meaningful achievement, something that really meant a lot to you. Doesn't matter if it meant a lot to other people, but just tell me about something that meant a lot to you. And then begin asking them, okay, well, why was that so meaningful to you? Help me understand what was it about that achievement that really mattered to you? If they say something like, well, I got to own the project, present the project front to back. It was all mine. I'm the one who stood up and presented it to the group. And it really felt good to be the person showing off my work to the organization. It could be that person's driven by a theme called be central, which means they need to be center to the action. They need to be close to where decisions are being made, those kinds of things. And if that's the case, and you know that this job is going to be a back room in a cubicle, analyzing paperwork all day and not really ever getting a chance to shine, well, you have to explain that dynamic to them because it may not be a good fit for them long-term if they don't feel like they're at the center of the action. It could be that they say, I was part of a team. The team was fantastic, high-functioning. We were really thriving. We would collaborate. We would come in with new ideas. And it was just very exciting. It could be that they're driven by something we call collaborate, which means that they like working with people and with teams and being a part of a team effort. Well, again, if you know they're going to be stepping into a high-functioning team, that could be a really good role for them. Or if you know they're going to be in that back cubicle working on paperwork all day, well, maybe that's not going to be a great fit for them engagement-wise. So you can ask questions that draw out of them some of those motivational themes, perhaps, and begin to identify for them what might or might not align with what naturally motivates them.
So I know we only have about a minute or so left. So I have one final question. Venturesome is all about being fiercely ambitious, brave, and curious. So what's some bold, venturesome advice you wish you could give your younger self?
Great, great question. I think probably I would tell myself it's going to be okay, because I think I spent a lot of time in my 20s really worried, in my 20s really feeling like I'm almost 50 now, so I have the benefit of experience, right? I spent a lot of time in my 20s worried that everybody else was getting ahead of me, that I was somehow falling behind, that I wasn't going to succeed, that I was going to fail, that I was going to end up, sort of living in a van down by the river in the sort of Chris Farley, Saturday Night Live context. I sort of felt like that was going to be my life. And the reality is you can always navigate to where you want to be from wherever you are. You can get there, right? And so I would spend a lot less time worrying about how things are going and focusing instead on what can I do to add value anywhere I am and try to navigate to where I want to be. And the biggest thing I would just tell myself is it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. You're going to navigate there. So just worry less and just work more, right?
That's great advice for 20-somethings. And I think I had similar fears in my 20s as well. So Todd, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time to answer some of these questions that I had, especially after reading the book. I've been a fan of your podcast ever since one of my interns sent it to me and she thought I would really like it. So it's really cool to have the opportunity to speak with you today. So thank you so much.
So much. Thanks for inviting me and thanks for all the great work that you do.
Thanks for listening to VentureSum. I'd love to hear from you about the strategies you're using to get a step ahead or topics you'd like to hear me cover on the podcast. You can email me at venturesumpodcast@gmail.com or reach out on Twitter @venturesumpod.